Ready?
Rolling.
All right. All right. Pastor Ben, the camera keeps falling off on my phone, and it looks like you were calling me. Yes, there is class today, if that's what she was calling to ask me. Otherwise, I'll call you after class. All right.
Yep, we're going.
We're on?
We're okay. On. We're moving.
Okay, last night I tried to explain to you God, why Pentecost is this coming week, 16th, 17th, instead of the 9th and 10th. I want you to know something. I was done. I don't make things up. People called me and they challenged me to look at the calendar. And when the people sent me things and said, oh, you know, the calendar is off, and they didn't do the proper thing with Passover, and the Omer count was off, and I'm thinking to myself, no, they corrected the calendar. They corrected the calendar this year by adding an extra month, so we're fine. They're like, no, Pastor, you need to check the calendar. So I checked the calendar. But I realized for me to find out why the 50-day Omer count was off, I had to go all the way back to 2018 when this whole thing started. And I told you guys that they were going to have to add an extra month to the year because they were being disobedient by not waiting till the end of the month to start Nisan. And I know a lot of this is confusing, but I'm going to show you a short thing in the scripture today to show you why it throws off Pentecost a whole week, okay? It's a very simple thing. It doesn't take a lot of math. We don't have to go back to 2018. If you were confused last night, we can go right to the point. You can see why it happened, and then I'll show it to you in just a moment. But I think I may need some prayer, and my prayer is that you will understand what I'm saying today. And then we're going to get into some scripture as well.
Pastor Sandy, anyway, before you go any further, from Nicole Fusin, I can't pronounce the name, T-H-E.
Nicole.
Yeah, she said, hello from Cool House Mom.
Hey, oh yeah, she said, I'm the Cool House Mom. Yeah, so Elohim Tov.
Cool House Mom.
Cool House Mom. Cool House Mom. So, amen, praise God, that was funny. So, I'm going to pray. I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. I'm looking forward to Pentecost. I do understand now. And some people... Now, listen. Pastor Sandy, not crazy. If Pentecost passed, you know what I'm going to be hoping for? Sometime we're leaving during the wheat harvest.
Yes.
Okay? But I'm not going to keep going back looking for new and... And I'm not going to look for Rosh Hashanah, and I'm not going to look for this, and I'm not going to look for that. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. Because by biblical understanding, the Pentecost rapture is the only date that we should be looking for. And if the Pentecost date was wrong because of what Israel does with the calendars, I don't know how you say, okay, we're going to stop the calendar, and if then we're going to restart it here, and we're just going to add a month. But you forgot that there were some days that you didn't count, so what do you say? We'll just say those days disappeared. You can't do that, you know what I mean? And God already gave you a system to get back on track, and they should just use that system, and then it will always be on track, you know?
Amen.
But they didn't. So if they had done that, them starting, it would have given them like a perfect time for the 50-day count of Omer and everything.
Pastor,
are you plugged in?
Yep. Someone else has a question.
Yes.
She wants to know, this is from Christ Follower. Pastor Ben, can you ask Pastor Sandy if the wheat harvest is 50 days long? Does that mean Pentecost is for 50 days? I'm confused on that.
No, the wheat harvest does not last for 50 days. And I had the program here last night to tell you exactly how long the wheat harvest lasts. Aha! I got a hold of Israel.
And I said, hey, I need to know, how does this whole farming system work? And so I'm going to read it to you, because it doesn't take any anointing to read this. But after this, I'm praying. So I'm not answering any more questions until I pray. So this is how it goes, okay? Tishri 7th, which is in September, because this, you know, it's after, then they start plowing again, right? Mm-hmm. This is why they have a jubilee in the 50th year, and the jubilee starts on Tishri 10th. So it says, you know, you're not allowed to start plowing again. Because from Tishri 10 to the next Tishri 10, you cannot plant or grow or harvest anything for a whole year. So it gives the land rest. You eat what has already been grown. And so that's why I was trying to tell that Nick Vanderline guy, look, dude, you can't, Jubilee does not start in Nisan. If you did that, you'd already have a harvest planted. And then, so what he does is he stops the planting of the harvest at Tishri 10, okay? And that is when a jubilee starts, okay? So that's when the jubilee starts. So then I'm going to move all the way down through this. Then, of course, in Adar, which is the spring harvest, then that's when they start at Aviv, which is what we call March or April. They do the barley harvest, okay? After the barley harvest, okay, the wheat harvest begins during the month of between May and June, after they've already taken up the barley harvest. So on the third month begins the wheat harvest, okay? Then the wheat harvest continues from the May-June thing to June and July. So it lasts about 30 days. After that, in July, they're going to get the first figs, okay, for the fruit harvest, the early figs. That's what Christ was coming for. When he said in Micah, he says, I'm looking for the early figs, the early fruit on the tree of summer, but there's none left. There's none there. Then he says, the righteous men have avad, meaning they disappeared before the early fig trees. Mm-hmm. Another hint. We'll look at that today, okay? So, anyway, the wheat harvest lasts, it starts between, because of their months fall in between us, May and June, and it ends between June and July. So it lasts about 30 days, the whole wheat harvest. If we have to wait till the end of the wheat harvest, I don't know. All I know is this time will not pass three times, mm-hmm. meaning, what are we saying exactly on Pentecost? This will not pass, or this time of wheat harvest will not pass. Amen. I haven't asked the Lord. I will, but I don't know if he'll tell me. It's like it's a need to know basis, and you don't need to know. So, but I'll ask. He hasn't told me that. That's what I'm thinking. Okay, so anyway, I still believe, know, and understand that you're not going to make to wait a whole nother year for someone has worked his whole 6 days for his bride. We understand that it fell into some very poignant times, and that there was a jubilee and we had to wait a year, and then there, you know, and then all of these things happen. But now you're at the wheat harvest. Mm-hmm. There's nothing stopping God from taking the bride and delivering the wheat harvest to the kingdom. Amen. Okay, so anyway, it's the perfect time. This time will not pass. Three times. And that's why I got so strong on the Pentecost. And understand this. The scripture says there's only three times for harvest.
Yeah.
There's only the barley, the wheat, and the fruit. And in scripture, you can point out the barley. When it happened exactly where it said. You can point out the fruit harvest, and you, in the book of Revelation chapter 14, and it's exactly at Tabernacles. And then you can also point out the wheat harvest, because God says what? Jesus Christ will gather his wheat into the barn. So we know it's a wheat harvest for the church. And so now we know that the Pentecost season is the wheat harvest. Amen. That's why I'm ready to fly. Mm. You don't have to get excited. because I know how it is, man. You think you're like, oh, well, I've been waiting for the rapture. And myself, I've been waiting since 2004. A matter of fact, I knew nothing was happening until at least 2010. So I had to preach rapture for 6 years before there was even a possibility of a rapture.
Amen.
Then when 2010 passed, I went, well, the last 7 years of the, before the 6,000 years ends is definitely not the tribulation. So, oh, I found out that Jesus has agreed to work an additional 7 years. So he's going to work all the way up to the 6,000th year. The 6,000th year came and nothing. And I was like, why nothing happened? Well, the 6,000th year also produced the Jubilee, so you can't harvest. Okay? So now we have to wait another year till it's time to harvest. And then when we got to this time, now it's you can't harvest until it's the Pentecost season, and the Pentecost season is here.
Yeah.
The time is here. This time will not pass. Anyway, that is why I'm waiting. I hope I can explain that better for people, but I'm going to show you what they did and how they messed it up, okay? But let me pray.
Yes, sir.
Because I need Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, to be with us, and so that we can enjoy this. Anyway, welcome all Rishon Messianic Bible Club members. I wish if we were going to be here longer, we would do this more extravagant, like, you know, let's get T-shirts, which we have a T-shirt in the making. And, you know, and let's do this and let's do that. And, you know, and it would be awesome. But since I'm not planning on being here that long, we're not putting a lot of extras into the Bible Club, but we know that we belong to a Hebrew Bible Club, and most of us are graduates of the school, so we know also that it's on a higher level of teaching, because we can also include Hebrew, we can also include Gematria, we are also including the historic history of Israel, the traditions. So we're talking on a higher level of biblical understanding. This is not just, you know, you run in and somebody give you a little sermon and you go home. We're actually studying the scriptures. So I love all of you guys. You guys are like the most awesome people, because you provide me the opportunity to do this. And God told me you were coming. I just didn't know when. And you came in the last couple of years of our ministry. Ooh. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm going to be quiet. Here we go. Avanu shaba shabaim yikadeshimcha. Tavo mehuteka yi aserot sanaka. Be arez ke asher ne asabe shamaim. Tenlano hayom lekum mukenu. Usilak lanu et ashmitenu. Ke asher selechim manaknu. Le asher ashmilanu. Vial tevienu le demasa. Ke im hatsilanu min hra. Kilaha hamamlecha. Veha givra. Veha tif eret. Le olame le olamim. Amen.
Amen.
Peruk Yeshua HaMashiach. The Yad He Vav He of heaven, and we just thank God for what he has done and where he is leading us to. And I truly believe this. The Bible is true and all men are liars. So I expect the Bible to come true.
Yes.
And even if you say, you know what, you can do that. You know, all 10 virgins fell asleep, okay?
Yes.
When the bridegroom got there, he said he wasn't mad at the 10 that all 10 of them that fell asleep. He was mad at the 5 that fell asleep unprepared.
Yes.
The 5 of them fell asleep with one eye open, with a full lamp of oil, right? Already trimmed. Okay. So understand this. If you say, you know what, I'm tired of just wait. I'm just going to live for Christ and I'm going to love Jesus. And if he comes, he comes. But I can't. Okay, that's fine. I can't live like that because I'm too excited and I know what I know. Okay. So I'm waiting on this Pentecost on this Sunday and Monday. And I'll show you in a moment how they did that. Okay, I can show you now because, you know, this board right here, I hope it didn't confuse you, but this is where it all happened. This was the big problem, okay? This was the big problem. Because if you're Jewish, you know this, okay? This is the big problem. Here we get to March 20th, and that spring equinox hasn't come yet, You didn't even wait until the spring equinox came. You just started your new month, Nisan 4th. It was already Nisan 4th. Mm-hmm. How you start a new year before the spring equinox? You can't do it.
Right.
It's a biblical rule. Okay? So therefore, this is what God says. The spring equinox, after the spring equinox, the first new moon that comes after the spring equinox will begin the new year, which would have been Nisan 1st. But no, they didn't do that. We were already in Nisan 4. Mm-hmm. Okay? So then we got here, the Jews. So they should have waited till the next month, April 16th. But that ended up being Iyar 1st, which is the second month of the year. So they added 29 extra. They gave us an extra month for the next year. Mm-hmm. And there was 29 days in that month. Well, you still owe us 4 from here. And it was 28 days. It was 27 days. So at the least, you owe us 2 days.
Wow.
Okay. But at the most, you owe us 3 days. At the least, you owe us 2 days.
Yes.
Okay. But that never got addressed. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we just moved into it. So now when you get to Pentecost, Nisan 14th is going to fall on the wrong day. Because you're 2 or 3 days off,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And now I'm going to show you. Let's go to Leviticus so we can read this first, so we can understand this.
Pastor Stanley, someone said you are right in line with the word is lining up because, things are lining up because on Sunday, Monday, Iran sank 2 oil tankers.
Wow.
I know, right?
Okay. Now watch this. Here we go. We're in Leviticus chapter 23, and I want to read the Feast of Weeks portion, right? Now watch this in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of wheat, the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. The 50th day is the day after the 7th Sabbath. Okay? So now, where do you begin your count? After the Sabbath. Okay?
Right.
You begin your count after the Sabbath. What if the Passover lands on Monday? Okay, can you start the 50-day count on Tuesday? No, you have to wait until after the Sabbath. Then you start your count, and then that will land you on Pentecost, okay? This is what did not happen, okay? And now, on their calendar, which they already owe 2 or 3 days, on their calendar, this is how it happened. Watch this. I'm going to kind of erase this. Okay. So watch this. I brought a little note for myself so I could read it for you, could show you guys. Because, you know, let me tell you, 9th and 10th, I was like, boy, I am done. And Lord, like, you never studied the calendar. You never addressed why people were telling you to look at the calendar.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here it is. Okay, so on April 19th was the 14th of Nisan. Okay, so April 19th of this year was the 14th of Nisan.
Yeah.
Okay, now, and we'll say this was Nisan 14th. That's Passover, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Passover. Guess what day it lands on? This is Friday. So these 2 days land on a Friday. Perfect. So if that's Passover, all we have to do is wait until after Saturday, the Shabbat, and then on Sunday, start the count.
Yes.
Okay? Now, that would have been perfect to do if you didn't mess this up. Okay, because now you still owe 2 or 3 days. So now Passover really doesn't land on Friday. It lands on Sunday or Monday. Okay, so Passover lands on not Friday, but Sunday / Monday.
Need another marker?
Nope, I got it. I just got a left hand. So now you got here. So now, if it lands here, when can we start the count of the 50? We have to wait 6 days for the next Sabbath, and then the day after the Sabbath, we'll count the 50 count. Okay? Since they didn't do that, they just started the count 6 days early. Okay? They started the count 6 days early, so that ended the 50th count 6 days early, which landed us at June 9th and 10th. And like I was trying to show you with the Jubilee, which God announces the 50th Jubilee always on the 24th of Kislev. Mm-hmm. But Donald Trump had announced it on the 18th of Kislev. Yes. So I look back at the 2017 calendar, and they did another, I don't know what to call it, mistake in their calendar. And so therefore, God is like, well, I know this is the 24th of Kislev, even though you say it's the 18th of Kislev. Donald Trump, go ahead and announce, because I know I'm not going to throw my calendar off because they've thrown their calendar off, okay? So now he announces it on Kislev 18, which really should have been Kislev 24th, and it would have landed perfect in the same thing. It's 1917. General Allenby entered Jerusalem. Guess what day? 24th of Kislev. 1967, they win the Six-Day War. Guess when they resolved the building construction for Jerusalem? 24th of Kislev. So then now we get to Donald Trump announcing it 50 years later, and he just announces it 6 days early, or it was the calendar off. The calendar was off. But God is not going to adjust his calendar to meet with their calendar. You understand?
Yeah.
So they could still keep their seasons, but every day matters. And so
Amen. That's
what I was trying to explain to you last night. If you got confused, and if you're still confused, call me. Praise God. Okay. So now we need to get into a Bible study concerning, let's go to the book of Micah.
Micah?
Yeah, Micah. And I'm going to get my other Bible, because in the book of Micah, I hope you guys were listening last night, because the church has been under a huge attack. And I did not know it. I was wondering why people were saying we can't find a good church. They're all owned by Masons. My church doesn't talk about the rapture. They're all owned by Masons. They're not going to get people away, get people ready for the rapture.
Right.
They're all owned by Freemasons.
That's crazy.
I mean, 46,000 churches under the Southern Baptist Convention, not the Southern Baptist denomination, or the Southern Baptist Convention is an organization owned by the Freemasons that establishes and builds churches, rather small or mega. All you have to do is be a part of it, and they will make sure that you're financially taken care of, because they're trying to infiltrate the church with bad doctrine. And so that's why you're getting these churches trying to get you to admit that we're all Catholic, and the Pope's a good guy, and we don't need to be talking down about homosexual. We need to champion their cause. Yeah. These are the messages that are coming out of these churches. You know what I mean? I even heard Bishop Omer, oh my goodness, in L.A., I said it was a message that said something about homosexual when Obama decided that gay marriages was good, so he wanted to address it. And I think, oh, yeah, this guy's going to set it straight.
Right.
And that guy was so in agreement with Obama, saying that, you know, there's just we have homosexuals in the church, and we just have to understand this is part of the thing. And he was so complacent with it. And I was like, Oh my God. So I start writing stuff, and then of course, you know, his members start saying, you're a hater. No, I see evil and I'm gonna expose it, because the scripture says, do not hide it, but expose it, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so that's why many of you can't find a good church.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to walk in and say, does this church belong to the Southern Baptist Convention, or is there a Freemason organization mm-hmm. that's paying your bills?
Right.
Then they say, no, we opened the church on our own, and God is the only one paying the bills.
Right.
Okay, I only know us and Pastor Jones. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are some others, but I stick with Pastor Jones, who is my mentor,
right.
because he started his church. He doesn't have a board over him. There's no Freemasonry added into it. So that is the deal. I am going to get to the book of Micah right now.
Is that Micah?
Yeah, Micah, not Malachi. Micah. And I think it's Micah chapter 7. Now we'll understand, according to this, Micah chapter 7. We can now understand this, because as I'm looking at this harvest report from Israel, I'm seeing that the first of the fruit harvest, the first figs appear in June, July, or toward the end, like between June and July. The wheat harvest ends in June. And then in June, July, you have the finishing of the wheat harvest and the first figs from the fruit harvest. Okay. So listen what the Lord writes in Micah chapter 7.
What verse?
Chapter 7, verse 1. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit. Okay. What's the summer fruit? The summer fruit would be the first figs of the tree, right? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs I craved. The godly have avad,
mm-hmm.
have vanished. The godly have vanished. It says the godly have vanished from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood.
Yes.
Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. So what he's saying is this, look. Oh, hallelujah. This is awesome. You'll never fully understand this verse and what God is saying without studying the wheat harvest. And some of you guys have written me and said that your families are into farming, and you know you can't harvest. You cannot possibly harvest the barley, the wheat, and the fruit all in the same day.
No.
You know you can't. You can't do it in the same, because they grow different, right? They grow in different seasons, everything. So God has ordained that there will be a harvest, but everyone in their own season. The barley harvest has had its season. The wheat harvest is now in its season. And now God is telling you there's only three times a year I'm going to harvest. It's going to be at the barley, it's going to be at the wheat, and it's going to be at the fruit harvest. So we don't have to guess that the rapture could be in December.
Right.
Because that is not the wheat of the that is not the wheat season. There is a second harvest of wheat, but it's called dead. It's dead, but we don't deal with that. Okay, so because God has already explained to us in Deuteronomy 16, that is barley, wheat, fruit. It's Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. So we don't have to go with, oh, you know, the whole winter thing, right?
Right?
Or it could happen at any time, even if it's not the wheat harvest.
Oh.
God says, no, it is the wheat harvest.
Amen.
And so he puts this scripture in here, and I'm going to read this first. Now watch this. This is my thing from Israel. Here it is. I'll mail this out to you, you guys.
A lot of people want that, Pastor.
I'm going to mail this whole thing out to you when I get home. Everybody who's on my email, you will get this when I get home. Okay, now watch this. The barley harvest is in Aviv. It begins. We know that. After Jesus Christ resurrected, right? It says then in the second month, which is in Nisan, the barley harvest is complete. So after Christ resurrected, the barley harvest left and went to heaven. The next harvest of the season will occur at what they call the dry season, May and June. So the wheat harvest begins now in June. And the wheat harvest goes throughout the month of June and July. At the time of July, it says they have the first figs, okay? So in the fourth month, they say you get the first figs because the wheat harvest is going to be complete. I'm going to stop again because I didn't hear anybody shout. And I need you guys to shout. Now watch. The wheat harvest is complete in the fourth month. It's gone. June and July is that month, or in the fourth month. And then they look for the first figs.
Yeah.
They look for the early fruit.
Yeah.
But they don't look for the early fruit until what? The wheat has been completed.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to read Micah again, and then I hope you shout. This is God talking. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, no early figs that I craved. Okay? But something has happened. The godly have vanished from the land.
Mm.
Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. The judge accepts the bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them are like briars, which is a thorn bush. The most upright, worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman has come.
Yes.
Ha! For all you people that gave up like me on the 9th and 10th, till God slapped me on the back of the head. Okay? Because that would have been, for me, like, what is going on? Okay? This is Pentecost. This is after the 6,000th year. This is after the Jubilee. This is after the 70th year. Okay? It's the 70th year, and you're saying May 18th. Okay, it's May 18th, but May 18th, we're talking Pentecost. I mean, May 14th, we're talking Pentecost, okay? So now you're going, okay, the day of the watchman has come, the day God visit you, now is the time of their confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Do not trust the neighbor. Why? Don't trust your neighbor when? During the time of the early fruit, when all the righteous have vanished from the land. When we're gone, don't you trust your neighbor.
Amen.
Okay? Do not trust the neighbor. It says, put no confidence in a friend, even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words.
Yes.
For a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against his mother, a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law, a man's enemy are the members of his own household. But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for the God, my Savior, my God will hear me.
Yes.
So Israel is in the middle of the tribulation, but Micah is prophesying to you, telling you when. What's Micah saying? Before the early fruit comes, the righteous have avad. Okay? Thank you, Father God, because you have taught me Hebrew. Because every time I've ever read this, it just says, this one says, the godly have swept from the land. Okay, that's pretty cool, right?
Right.
The godly have been swept from the land. Okay, that's good. Some say the godly have perished. That is completely wrong, because for English, perish means you die.
Yep.
Okay, that's not a good translation. But then I read Hebrew, and the Hebrew says, oh, the first interpretation of avad is to disappear. Okay? Don't let her avad. Don't let her disappear on you. It's in one of the Hebrew songs that I listen to. Don't hold on to her. Don't let her avad. Okay? So avad means to disappear. Micah is telling you when the disappearing appearance is going to happen.
Yes.
Before the early figs. God is telling you this. It's not Micah talking, because all scripture is written by who? God. God is telling you when the vanishing is going to happen. Deuteronomy 16 is telling you when the vanishing is going to happen, because the Deuteronomy 16 says it happens at the Feast of Weeks.
Yes.
So everybody's telling us when, or I mean, God is telling us when, and I apologized. If you're on my Facebook, the first thing I did when I sent you this information was I want to apologize, because I didn't look at the calendar when people were telling me to look at the calendar. I want to apologize because I had a lot of people, and then, you know, I know it's God, because he gives you information as he needs. But remember, we were all looking for the winter rapture because of Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. It was completely wrong. God's like, I never wrote in the Bible that I'm gonna harvest a wheat harvest in the winter. What is wrong with these people? But he did it, though. You know why? Because it kept us looking up. It kept us ready for his coming. It kept us, some of us, living right.
Yep.
People were like, hey, you know what? I'm straightening my life out because the Lord is coming, right?
Yeah.
Now, on Sunday, I said this, don't love God just for the rapture. And you don't want to do that. But if the rapture makes you straighten up, yes, let it.
Yes.
I would let it. You know what I mean? Nineveh let it do that.
Yep.
Nineveh, like 40 days, destruction. We're sackcloth and ashes. We all repenting. We're the dog. They made the animals repent. They made everybody repent, right?
Amen.
And God saved us. So if the fear of that is what causes you to say, I need to repent and give my life back to Christ and live for the Lord because I fear God. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. I'd rather be in heaven. And somebody said, why are you here? Because I was scared. Somebody told me about the rapture, so I repented. Hallelujah, you
Amen.
Did good.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I just don't like people that if the rapture don't happen, they go, well, then I'm going back to sinning.
Right.
Then that proves you didn't really love God anyway. But I'm so excited. I'm so excited because I got this report. And I'm very excited because in this report, it gave me the exact days of all of the harvests. And so now I know how God is looking at it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, my message last night was this. Me and Pastor Ben are two of the good guys.
Amen.
And we're not good because we were both born Mm-mm. really good people.
Especially me.
I know stuff about Pastor Ben that I'm not going to tell you, because all I know him as and all God knows him as is a man of God who is anointed in prophetic prayer.
Amen.
That's what God knows him as, okay? You don't need to know his, but I know this. God put us together to do this.
Amen.
Okay? God put us together to do this, okay? Because I can't work with a weasel. I really can't. And all the pastors and stuff that I was meeting were all adulterers, money grubbers. All of these things were going on in their lives. And I'm like, oh my goodness, when God called me to be a pastor, I almost cried. I was a prison minister. I was going in juvenile prisons, teaching the gospel, getting young men saved, when they got out, having a program so they can get jobs. Yeah. That was my job. Yeah. And then God tells me, I want you to start a church. I did like this. La 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 la. I wasn't going to leave the prison. I was not going to leave the prison. God told me again, I want you to get out of church. I want you to get out of here and start a church. I wanted to hear God said, okay, I changed my mind, just stay in the prison. But he never said it. I told my wife, she said, God didn't speak to you on that. God didn't tell you to. I said, see, my wife is in agreement. So God had me call Pastor Ben and say, okay, if Pastor Ben ain't in agreement, then I'll know this ain't from God. Pastor Ben say, let's get started. I'm with you till the wheels fall off. Oh, God. So I had to start looking for a church. You understand? I'm saying this because we're in a time that there is more corruption in the church than ever before.
Amen.
Okay? I didn't send you guys a list, and neither did I read off the list of people that are now involved in this Southern Baptist Convention,
yeah.
The money handing out if you would help us deceive Christians organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are.
Amen.
They will give you a book deal.
Yeah.
If you join and you get popular enough, they will give you a book deal. You know,
people were asking last night, how do they get the money to the minister, the pastors that are doing, because they can't write a check and put on their deception.
No. So you know where the money comes from? The money comes from the New York Times bestseller. Who owns the New York Times? Illuminati. Okay, so the New York Times bestsellers list, they put them on that list. And then they said, your book sold 10 million copies. You know what I mean? So now we owe you $20 million. So now they go in and they say, we're buying you a $2 million home, like they did with Stephen Furtick, right? Now he gets a $2 million home. He gets this salary. And they can say, you know, I'm giving my salary back to the church. Of course you can say that. You know why? Because the money from the books ain't coming from the books. It's coming from the Illuminati that hired you to start the church. That's why that John Gray, he bought his wife a $400,000 Lamborghini, right? Everybody's mad. He said, well, the money from the that I bought my wife this car, I'm her husband, I can buy a car, and the money didn't come from the church, the money came from my book sales. The money came from the book sales that the Illuminati set up so that they'll have a way to give you money for helping him deceive people. That's where the money came from, okay?
And Rachel said, then the church buys you a plane.
Yeah, then of course the church buys you a plane, because let me tell you, I don't care how much people put in the pot, you ain't buying no $40 million. Now they're going to buy you a plane to fly you from here to there, right? Come on, you guys. We have all been deceived. And we're thinking, wow, they must be really good preachers if they need a jet. And the settlement said, we don't handle that stuff. That's a program. You got to contact the Freemasons and they'll give you the money for the jet.
Uh-huh.
And so then they get all their money from these Illuminati. And the big thing of the deception is this. What? We want to make you, it's a call to return to being Catholic or accepting the Pope as being, the Catholic Church as being one with Christianity. Okay? I was listening to a pastor called Nick Hall. And he was standing and saying, we have differences, but we need to all unite. And this was in the Together Movement. Mm-hmm. The Together Movement, you had all of these Southern Baptists funded churches showed up for the Pope to give an announcement that we're all returning to Catholicism. And you had all of these people standing up and then telling them, you know, we understand that the Pope and the Catholics, we're all one. And the guy that came and did that announcement that the Catholics and the church are now coming back together to be one, soon as he got back to Italy, he got hit by a car and died.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure did.
So you You try to do this work for Satan, you better be careful who you're messing with. And Kenneth Copeland was the guy who invited him to the church to do it, okay? So you guys have to understand. Now, another thing they're trying to get us to accept is that Islam's God is the same God as the church. Yeah. It's not. Take it from X Rahman Abdul Rahim, okay? And you're looking at him, X. Islam God has nothing to do with the God of the Bible, okay? Amen. That's a whole satanic thing that's going on there. Because in the Quran, and I got a couple of them, I kept the book and the study notes. Mm. And the questions that I had was the scripture that said Jesus Christ never died on the cross. But God put an imposter up there instead. Because, and anybody who does not believe this is fooling themselves. In the Quran, I was like, this book says that Jesus never died. So understand, but you have Rick Warren, who did at the forum, Chrislam Day. And you had Christians and Muslims praising God, having a worship service together and talking about God. Nobody brought up the fact that Islam was not from God. Right. They just talked about the one loving God that loves us all, no matter what you want to call him. And so Rick Warren has one of the biggest churches here in California, Saddleback. And he spoke at the Bush's inauguration. And he's a member of one of the high level satanic groups in Washington that Hillary and all of them, but Rick Warren gets to be a member with all of them. Okay, so I'm letting you know. Then you had pastors like William P. Young, Carl Lentz, that big old thing going on in New York. Mm-hmm. That's all under satanic roots. Okay, Brian Houston, whose family is into pedophilia, but he's the one that started all of the Carl Lentz type churches. What do they call it? Hillsong. Be careful on this Hillsong music.
Wow.
Be careful on this Hillsong music. They did. Brian Houston's church did a full satanic performance on Easter in their church, and none of the people understood what was going on that stage. All they saw is that they had a light show and many actors and a smoke fire, and they were just being entertained. And he's doing a satanic ritual right in the church. And that was Brian Houston church called what? Called the Hillsong. He started the Hillsong. Then they started one in New York with Carl Lentz. And they, all of these people are under the same banner, Illuminati banner, okay? And for Greg Laurie to meet with Rick Warren and shake his hand to be a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, Greg Laurie should pull himself away from that and realize how many snakes he's dealing with. But if the money is good, you'll do it. Uh-huh. Okay? And you can't do it. I'm telling you. Then you have this other guy, Todd Bentley, who was arrested for pedophilia. And he's a nut. He's crazier than crazy.
The people are agreeing with you. Hillsong is wicked.
Yes. And that's why I say everybody's at these churches singing these Hillsong messages. Well, you better. I'm going to send you the link to this guy who says, look, when demons write songs, they do it in witchcraft language. OK, so it's the same as Obama saying, yes, we can. He knew backwards. He was saying, thank you, Satan. So if you got a demonic entity making music and is selling millions of copies, you better find out what's the root of the music that right. they're selling, okay? Because we sing anything that sounds good and it's in the church, we call it church music. But if it came from a source, from a church that is not from God, you better understand.
Amen.
All right? I'm just telling you, they're not there to win people to the kingdom of God. And you're never going to hear them talking about being ready for the rapture, being prepared for Christ to come and take us. You're never going to hear them talk about repentance, because homosexuality is not that bad. Mm-hmm. At the Hillsong churches. Okay.
Kim Holland said Calvary Chapel is going through a division because of the same problem.
Exactly. They are going through a division because of the same problem. And so understand, with Calvary Chapel, it is a big problem, because half of them don't want the Illuminati money, and the other half are trying to step away from it. Mm-hmm. But when they start putting that money on the table, say, all we need for you to do is help us deceive the people. Okay? So why is Satan interested in all of these, in opening churches? Because in the church is where you can deceive people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? TBN, CBN, or whatever, the less of that TV station you watch, the better. Because all of the people that are on those stations are all under the Satanic Southern Baptist Convention.
Wow.
Okay?
That's
crazy. So the Crouches, and they even have a Hillsong music channel where you can listen to all Hillsong's music after a certain hour. So now you're listening to all this music that sounds godly, but the root of it comes from the wrong place. Okay?
Someone wants to know about radio stations, Rachel.
Radio stations as well, because look, they'll have Joyce Myers, then they'll have Rick Warren. So, and then they'll have someone else that's good, and then they'll turn around and then have somebody like Bill Johnson or I don't know. There's so many of them that are just, they just put anyone on there, okay? And so you have to understand, if you're going to listen to these radio stations, look up who you're listening to, okay? Because who you're listening to may not be as Christian as you think. Now, so we get to the list, and I'm getting the list because I want to send the list as well. Okay, now I can't call them all bad, but John Gray Installment Service. You guys got to watch that. But remember when Tasha Cobbs is singing the praise and worship? She's the same person that did a gospel song with Nicki Minaj. And Nicki Minaj is as satanic as they come.
Nicki Minaj?
Yeah, she did a song with Nicki Minaj. Okay? I mean, it's like Pastor Ben come here and say, you know, I want to pray for the people, but I'm asking Satan to help me. You know? Yeah, or let's get Snoop Dogg to, come on, man. Okay, so the churches that are under this satanic umbrella, T.D. Jakes, Kirk Franklin. Kirk Franklin's music is now, he's coming under this because there's a lot of money. He can go to all these big churches and get paid lots of money as long as he's under this banner. Carl Lentz, Dr. James Mormon, Jetson Franklin, Ron Carpenter, Donald Hilliard, Bishop, I'm trying not to use those, I.V. Hilliard, Joel Osteen, Eric Garness, Greg Laurie just joined, 33 Degree, Kenneth Copeland, Todd White, the person that thinks he can, with the dreads, that think he can make people's leg grow. They were doing that, they were doing that trick in 1980 when I was in college. Matt Chandler, Rick Warren, Creflo Dollar, Robert Shuler, who was the one of the ones. And so, and anyway, the list goes on and on. They have 42,000 churches. Okay, the list goes on and on. You can go on and on and on, but they're all connected. And then you have this one other one that I was listening to today, Nick Hall, who was at the Together meeting, saying that we and the Catholics need to, because he says, you know, if they bow down and worship Mary, it doesn't mean that they're worshiping Mary. What it means is that, you know, they have respect for her because she's the mother of God, but they don't see her as being God. And then, you know, and if they bow down and they worship the statues of many of the saints, it's not because they're not Christian, it's just they're respecting the saints that have gone before us. So, but why do you make a statue of them and bow down to them when the Bible says do not bow down to statues?
Amen.
Okay, so why was Nick Hall standing trying to explain to us why he's a pastor, Nick Hall. Now it's not the black one, but I don't know what he's into. But this Nick Hall was at the Together movement and this whole NRA movement that they're trying to get Christians to unite with all the religions of the world, but they have Christian churches. So,
Pastor, someone wants to know, can a woman be a pastor?
She can't have authority over a man. A woman should not have authority over a man. It does not say that she cannot teach. It says she cannot mentor a man. Okay, so let's look up the word to be careful. Okay, because if a woman is teaching a Bible study and she's under the leadership of a church, okay, then okay. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. In the scripture that says a woman should not speak in church, or she should be quiet, and if she have a question when she went home, she should ask her husband. That word says that a woman should not speak in Greek is a specific word. There are 9 words for speak in Greek. One of them is laleo, which means to speak out of order. So it says a woman should not speak out of order in church. If she has a question, she should ask her husband at home. And they said that because the women sat in a different position, a different part of the church than the men. And they were saying to keep confusion and order in the church, don't come from your area and go to the men's area to ask your husband a question during service. So that was a thing to say, we're keeping order in the church, not that a woman should not speak in church, okay? Because then now we're going to have to say Anna was now in the temple preaching about the coming of the Messiah for over 50 years after her husband died. And when the Messiah came, she praised God. Okay? She didn't preach outside. She preached that no one kicked her out, and God did not kick her out. Okay? So
if a woman is a pastor, is she out of place? Is she wrong?
That's between her and God. I'm gonna wait till I get to heaven for that, because this is my thing. The scripture says a woman should not have authority over a man, okay? Now, that's between her and God. I'm going to say that because of the fact that you have a prophetess in the scripture that God said go, and that these prophetess were called to do certain things for God. So God did use women, okay? So today, that if there's a church and there's a woman and she says, hey, I want to pastor this church, and she doesn't have a husband, kind of hard thing to do, okay? But I'm not in the middle of that. That's not my concern, okay? My concern is, because if a woman's preaching the gospel, she's a woman, she's not supposed to be speaking. No, the Greek word says a woman should not speak out of order in church, and a woman should not teach a man. It says the woman shall not mentor a man. Mm-hmm. Okay, that word in that other scripture means I'm not going to be at my church and have a woman here at the church and ask her to mentor men to make them better. So it says a woman should not teach a man. Okay, she should not teach a man. And that's just common sense for the church. You're not going to have a woman trying to teach a man how to be a man. You understand? And then sexual things can happen when you got that type of mixture. Okay, so men should mentor men. Women should mentor women. And he said, this is the structure of how the church. So it says a woman should not teach a man, right?
Mm-hmm. But they said they can minister, though.
But you can minister. You have a word. I can't say, well, you're a woman, you're not supposed to teach me. No, the scripture says I'm not supposed to try to mentor you.
Right.
But if I have a scripture and I can give you some enlightenment because I'm a woman, you mean I can't tell you?
Right.
Then that means a lot of people would have, you know what I mean? A lot of people would have missed a lot of points, because if we go back and look at all the women in the scriptures, and I have a book of all the women that God used in the scriptures to minister, I'm saying all those women were wrong because God don't use women. You know what I mean? So
they can't be priests, but they can be ministers.
Priest?
Well,
every woman that comes to Christ is a priest.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah, they can't. They're not supposed to be pastors.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not supposed to pastor a church. But if I'm pastoring a church and I'm a better teacher than my husband, and my husband is the authority in the church, and I'm the one that's a better teacher, then I don't want to hear from a guy who can't teach. I'd rather hear from the woman who can teach.
Amen.
Okay, and then both of you as a couple can pastor the church. But these are issues that's an issue right now that I don't concern myself with, because I know that God does not suppress women out of the ministry, because the Bible shows time after time where he used women. Okay.
Amen.
And I'm not going to not read the Greek and say that a woman can't speak in a church because the Bible says, because that's not what the Bible says. It says, he says she cannot speak out of order.
Amen.
And nobody should be speaking out of order in a church, okay? So that's a big issue with me, because I see some better ministers that are women than men. And, but, you know, I've been in churches where if the woman wanted to talk, she was not allowed to stand behind the pulpit. She had to go stand on the side in the corner.
Right.
And I'm like, would Jesus do that? Would Jesus go, hold up, you're a woman, you can't be behind a pulpit. Go over there and talk to,
in
the
corner.
I don't know. I think they used some scriptures that they didn't look up the words, or they saw this is a way we can suppress them, and said, we're going to use these scriptures to suppress. And so I just don't think that Christ is that. Okay.
Time's up, Pastor.
Time's is up. Excellent. But that was a great talk. Thanks. That was a great question. And if anybody's mad at me because I allow, because my wife comes in here and speaks, gives me a break, Pastor Ben, wife speaks. My wife has her BA in theology. Pastor Ben's wife has a master's in accounting. So,
finance.
Yeah, and finance. So there's some things I'm just saying, you know, let's not suppress people.
Amen.
That God is trying to use. And let's not elevate people who God's not trying to elevate. Because Juanita Bynum is not someone that you want to be listening to. Okay,
yeah.
That she inaugurated a gay woman pastor. She's not only a pastor; she has a wife. Okay,
like
so yeah, right. And she, and you had Juanita Bynum come in and say the prayer over her to start her own church, and she's gay. Okay, so I'm saying there's some people that we don't look we. We're so in people, we get so taught up into the entertainment that we forget to check these people out when the Bible told us to watch, you know?
Dr. Barry said, who that?
Huh?
Dr. Barry said, who that?
Who that? Who?
The woman that got by, that need them by them.
Oh, I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you. Dr. Barry, I'll send it to you. It was the most craziest thing I ever saw, because you have this woman who's gay, and here you have this other woman who they think is a minister because she said she's a prophetess, and but she's not. You know what I mean? Because you will know them by what?
Their fruit.
So if I know you by your fruit, and you're always talking about money and money and money, and now you're getting to a fist fight in a parking lot with your husband who's a bishop, and you're a prophetess, there's the fruit. I'm like, that's a rotten fruit. That is not a good tree, right? These things, I'm not making this up, these things happened. Okay? But you got the, if you bring her here, she can pack a stadium because she's famous.
Yep.
And Satan made her famous, okay? I don't know. We need, as Christians, we need to be smarter and just not be so entertained. Because I said something about Carl Lentz throwing up the Bophomite sign with T.D. Jakes on the stage. And someone said, oh, that doesn't mean he's a Satanist. It just means, oh, God.
What does it mean then?
Am I? Do you? Okay, watch this. Watch this. I mean, I just want to show you one thing. Okay, this. Watch this. Watch this. Elevation Church. This is the symbol for Elevation Church. That's a pyramid. This is a thing that Luciferians use. That's a pyramid. They say, oh, no, there's another. If this thing is in the middle, it's just an arrow pointing up because it's the Elevation Church. It's a pyramid, okay? Even this is a pyramid. So instead of having a cross for your church, you have a pyramid.
They can't.
Okay? So this is the Elevation Church symbol. So that's, it's not a cross. They don't use a cross. They don't even use a dove. They use a pyramid.
That's crazy.
Okay? And I'm trying to tell people, this church is not from God. No pastor would sit up there and say, T.D. Jakes is a great guy, and have him on stage and all this stuff, and Joel Osteen is my best friend, and all of these things, and then you and us still sit there and say this is a church from God. We have to be smarter, because the root of what they're selling us is not Christ. They're not going to find Christ in that.
Amen.
And that's why I did the message that said they're teaching you how to worship yourself. That's what God showed me. Every scripture is about you. Nothing is about Jesus. All right. I hope
Excellent
we.
Message today.
Let's get out of here. Thank you, Rishon Messianic Bible Club members and friends. Keep praying for me. We have Pentecost coming up, the true Pentecost coming up this week, and we are in the harvest season. So I'm waiting to the end of the harvest season. If the harvest season ends and there's no rapture, I'm preaching the gospel till I leave, unless God makes me do something else. But I'm, because I don't get to do what I want. I didn't call myself. So, but that's what my plans are, which I write in pencil. All right. So let's pray us out. Yair Adonai panavilecha vechuneka, yaseh Adonai panavilecha veyasim lekai shalom. And what did God say? He said, Moses, when you speak to my people, tell them this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. I hope I don't see you next week. Praise God. Well, in heaven.